Welcome to Legal Talk. I'm John Mitchell, and today we're uncovering the legal insights and strategies that help you protect what matters most. You're watching Now Media Television.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to the big show. We are on Legal Talk. I'm your host, John Mitchell, and this is where we are taking like legal things, tax things, break them down. There, you know, we all know legal stuff. Tax stuff's all complicated. We break it down. We make it simple for you so that, so you can get some really good use out of the show. Hope it's entertaining, and I hope it's also useful and interesting for everybody. Now, today, man, oh, man, I have a big treat for everybody today. Don't I always have a big treat? But today, extra special treat because I am joined today by Dr. Alan Bedeau. Now, Dr. Allen is an AI strategist. He's a consultant and technology leader whose work focuses on AI roadmap implementation, responsible AI, and helping organizations build a real decisional advantage. Now, if you think artificial intelligence is only a tech conversation, well, this episode is going to go ahead and challenge that for you really fast, quick, and in a hurry because for small businesses, AI is now becoming very quickly a legal, operational, and leadership issue. Dr. Allen, thank you very much for being on Legal Talk. Welcome to the big show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
Yes, sir. Well, let's open up by talking about a core idea. So we're going to talk about AI adoption, right? So we're moving. It's moving faster. AI is moving faster than most legal awareness of most business owners, right? That things just get ahead of us, right? So I want to first start by framing things a little bit and talking about not the hype, but about practical exposure. So we can talk about AI creating some efficiencies in business. You know, kind of fueling that business growth. Of course, we all know that. But also, we're going to look behind the curtains and see some of the hidden liability when owners kind of can tend to use it a little bit on the casual side and maybe put too much trust in it. So we need to create some internal rules and processes to kind of take care of that. So that leads me to my first question. So when you look at how small businesses are using AI today, where do you see, Doctor, the biggest blind spot?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, everything is moving so fast that folks are just trying to get things, you know, embedded into their systems, embedded into their operational, you know, organizations. And there are really a multitude of blind spots, unfortunately, but I would say the biggest one really comes down to the data that they are putting in and how that data is being used by whatever the provider that they're using for their day-to-day work. Because a lot of times folks are just grabbing the freeware, they're grabbing the things that are very easy for them to use and to implement, and they're not reading some of that fine print that says all of that data that you're putting in there, somebody like Claude, somebody like OpenAI, somebody like Cohere, they're using that data to train all their models. And that's not a real great business, idea.
Right. Very well understood. Yes, sir. A very important thing to keep in mind there. Now, so that leads me to my next question. At what point does AI stop being a convenience tool? Because we all know it's convenient, man. I use AI, in my office, right? Not for super important things, but I treat it like an assistant, right? And so what I personally do, like, let's say I got this long email I need to answer. I'll copy and paste that into the AI and to give the AI an instruction, hey, help me, what do you think I should respond to this email? Whatever it kicks back, I take a look at it, make sure it's what I want it to be, and then you can copy and paste. And, a task that might have taken me 15, 20 minutes can now be done in 5 minutes. So it's a big convenience. But where does that tool for convenience come into being a real risk to businesses?
Yeah, the biggest risk, I mean, let me take a step back even, John, because what you said is exactly how a lot of folks should be using it. They're using it to save time. They're using it to analyze some, their emails or some of their data that they have, and then, you know, really accelerate the human decision and make sure that, you know, what you said was very key. It says what you want it to say, and that's the big driver. As soon as you start to use AI to make decisions, as soon as you start to let it make decisions on its own, that is when the biggest liability comes into play. And oftentimes, you know, people are thinking, oh, you know, I'll just let it automatically answer, and then I'll hit send, or I'll let it do this and I'll hit send. And that's when bad things start to happen. That's when you think you're accelerating and you think you're making better decisions faster because the AI is making those decisions. Well, that's the problem. You take the human out of the loop, you're in big trouble. And so that's exactly where we're seeing the biggest issues, especially with customers, with financial data, even cybersecurity. It's all over the place, but that right there is the fundamental issue.
Yes, sir, Doc. Oh, my goodness, man. If we were in church, I would give you a big amen to that because, it's like I said, I treat AI like my assistant, right? I can have my assistant draft a letter to a client or draft something or write something up for me, but you better guarantee that if my name is going on the bottom of that document, man, oh, man, I have read that and reread it before it goes out so that I can make sure that it's exactly the way, you know, that we want it to be. And I think people would be wise to go ahead and treat AI exactly the same way, which leads me to, a lot of people, like a lot of our audience out there, are small businesses, right? Small business owners. And so we can kind of fall into a trap and start thinking, well, that AI, the risk of AI is a problem. Yeah, that's for the big companies, right? That's for Microsoft. That's for Facebook to deal with. But that's not the case, is it?
No, that's not the case at all. The big companies, this is going to surprise a lot of people. The big companies are using the exact same tools the little companies are using. The only difference is maybe they've got more users, maybe they've got more data that they're putting into it. But the tools for both enterprises are in essence the same. And so how you're using those tools, if you're a small business, it's the exact same, you know, conundrum that you can run into if you're a large business and vice versa. And that does not mean that you can treat the AI any different. I warn people all the time, you cannot treat AI like software anymore. You in essence have to treat it as though it's an employee, an assistant like you are doing, or an insider threat, depending on what you're allowing the AI to do on its own, because it's inquisitive. It'll try to do things. It tries to answer questions. And by doing that, it can cause, you know, some havoc that folks are not ready for, especially a small business, if they don't put the right guardrails around it and they don't use it the right way.
Yes, sir. Oh, my God. I can tell you in my own experience, I have seen the day where I would ask, I use a couple of them in my personal, and it's not commercial for anybody, but ChatGPT is my main go-to. And then I use a specialized tax-focused AI called TaxBert, like Tax Expert, but TaxBert. Mm-hmm. And then, Google Gemini. One of the things I like to do is I like to take the answer from one AI and feed it into the other and see if the other AI can poke holes in what the first one said. So kind of play them off against each other. But, you know, people can get kind of complacent and start just trusting whatever output comes out, you know, like too quickly or too automatically. So I wanted to ask you this, what kind of business decisions could become a risk factor? What could be dangerous when you trust it too quickly?
Well, I think any time that the human tries to replace that decision-making process with AI, it can have impacts across the entire organization. And it doesn't matter if it's a proposal that you're submitting, or if it's, you know, the financial implications, or, you know, data that you're trying to track and manage. Every single time I have seen where AI has been, you know, is used to replace that entire process, you know, things start to ripple, things start to go bad. And so by doing that, then, you know, it can be the minorest thing for an organization to start, but the ripple effects, the after effects, are usually what happens that blow up, right? So for instance, if it's a customer survey or a customer support, issue, the AI is more than, you know, easy can handle the call, but how it follows up, how it does everything afterwards is usually when the human should be involved. And that's usually when things go bad. And if they're not watching it and not paying attention to it from the get-go across every single part of the organization, then, you know, you're gonna have something that could have been dealt with so much easier if a human was in the loop, but in turn, it just blows up.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I think thanks very much for all that great information. And what I would say is what I've kind of taken away from this, what I've kind of understood from this conversation is that it's not so much a question of whether we're going to use AI. I think genie's out of the bottle, right? But I think that the main question is for people to out there to kind of learn how to use it within boundaries, right? Use your good judgment and use it with accountability and structure. I think that's kind of our main takeaway. So, Doc, thanks very much for being on this first segment of Legal Talk. We're going to go take a really quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with our next segment. So, folks out there, don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome back to Legal Talk. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. You're on the move? Catch podcast version of Legal Talk or any other Now Media program on www.nowmedia.tv. So welcome back to this next segment. Doc, thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Very excited to talk about the next topic. It's definitely something that I enjoy discussing.
All right. Well, we're talking a little bit in this segment about the particulars, right? We started off with the general. Now we narrow it down a little bit and talk this segment about the different tools that people are already using every day, man. Every day they're out there using this stuff. You got your writing assistants, you got your chat bots, marketing tools, customer service platform, HR screening's a big one. And, any kind of internal productivity tools that people are out there using. So I want to show that some legal exposure can start with really ordinary behavior, right? Employees can paste some confidential information into public tools. That's kind of a no-no, right? We're leaking confidential information, I guess, could be, you know, one thing that people could fall into. So what have you seen? You're the expert here, not me. So why are the most common AI tools sometimes the ones that create the most overlooked liability?
Yeah, well, I think the easiest thing is that it's become almost everyday use now. You know, it's around, you know, that whole concept of, you know, the more familiar you are with a tool, the more complacent you become. And that is very clear with AI and what I have seen. And the problem is, though, is that, like I said earlier, you can't treat AI like software anymore, because, you know, whether it's using AI in a search bar or, you know, like some of the features that are embedded in Claude or ChatGPT or some of those other ones, when you stop thinking about things that you're putting in there as either important or as if it's a decision with consequences, then you're going to just casually put in, oh, personal identifiable information, or you're going to put in corporate proprietary information, and you're not going to think anything of it. So when you think about, you know, even like policy, and you're trying to generate policy or get it, you know, get some ideas from Google or some of those other platforms that are out there, you don't think about writing it around, you know, the AI assistant, and you know, it's just that it feels more casual, right? Because it's so easy to use now, and so that is creating a huge issue. That's also why folks like you know, countries in the European Union, like Italy, have put in restrictions on, if you're under 13, you can't do, you can't have access to it by yourself. If you are in certain government institutions, of course, you don't even have access to it because they don't want any of that information out there. And so, you know, this whole liability of just taking information, cutting it and pasting it into one of those AI tools and then hitting return, they're not paying attention to half of the stuff that's going in there. And that is a huge, huge problem.
Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I understand. And, you know, that goes back to, you know, I had a personal experience when I was working for the IRS. You know, AI started, you know, gaining some traction, and they, you know, put internally, you know, put out some warnings for us to not be using artificial intelligence. And if you wanted to use it in the course and scope of your job, you have to fill out a form and get permission and get it authorized and go through a training class to make sure that you're not copying and pasting any confidential either taxpayer information or even any you know, confidential information from the, you know, within the IRS. So have to be conscious of that. I think it's just mostly a matter of being conscientious and you know, and knowing that there are risks, and that goes a long way toward mitigating those risks, I'd say. So can you break it down for us, though? What kind of happens in the background when employees enter sensitive company information or client information into a public AI platform like ChatGPT?
Well, I can tell you the first thing is you've already lost control of the situation. Once it hits the public sphere, it's almost game over in many cases, because, you know, most public tier AI platforms, they reserve the right to use every single thing that you put in to you know, that question bar. And that can mean that, you know, their models can improve. They can use that data for any sort of, you know, additional training that they want to conduct. And there are in some cases that, you know, even if a provider doesn't use that your data specifically, the information that still is moving across the infrastructure within that organization. And so it gets logged, it gets, you know, it's accessible by other employees under certain conditions. So, you know, once that hits those other areas, it's free game for everybody. And that's a huge issue, right? Because, you know, As this information, and as people forget that they have a responsibility to manage their own digital identity, but also their customers' digital identities, the speed at which this you know, that information can propagate across the internet is something we have never seen before in our history. And, you know, once that is out there, you're talking milliseconds, and it's across the entire internet, potentially. So you can see where something that gets out there, it can't be pulled back anymore. And it just goes, and now you're in damage mode.
Oh, man, you are not lying, man. You know, that reminds me of, you know, in my own life again, right? Like, I try and break these things down for people here on the show and in real life as well. IRL, as the youngsters are saying today. So You know, I raised five teenagers, believe it or not. I know I look like a teenager myself, but I raised five teenagers. And, one of the things I had to have was that conversation. None of them, thank God, knock on wood, none of them got in any, big trouble with this. But I'd have the conversation with them. Hey, look, let me just tell you something while I've got your attention, right? I'm going to have your attention for like 3 minutes. Well, let me drive this point home to you. You take some kind of a risque, some kind of a boudoir type pictures. You think you're having a private chat with somebody, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it may be. You send that to them and you want to share that, that moment with them. You want to share that intimacy. We understand that, right? But here's the problem, right? Once that picture, once that image is taken and once it's transmitted over the internet, it is, it's out there. It's out there forever. So I said, before you take any pictures, before you send any video clips to anybody, just take 30 seconds and think about how would you feel if I were watching that? What if I stumbled across that, right? How would you feel? Be embarrassing, right? So just That's right. Be conscious, right? Be conscious of it. And I think we got to do the same thing with AI, right? So where does that, what would you say about those privacy and confidentiality concerns? When do they start to really get serious for a small business?
Well, it's, if you're a small business, the moment you handle anyone else's information, you have a responsibility to protect it. And whether that's, client records, whether that's, employee data or financial information, especially health, right? Or even let's take it down a little bit more. Even if it's an email that you have with somebody where the expectation is around confidentiality, you have an obligation to protect that. And the threshold isn't based on company size, right? It's data sensitivity. And so if you have a 5-person consulting organization, you have the same responsibility as a 500-person, legal firm. And so there are things around protecting that and that whole digital identity where, once that AI is looking at it, once that AI starts to do some crunching of the data on that, you have exposed the customer, you have exposed their information, and the mistake has already been done. And then you have an obligation to let the customer know that those sort of things have happened. And I'll tell you, this is where it starts to even get more complex in that, in the US, there are state privacy laws and state data that are not, covered in some cases under the federal regulations because it's just not been done yet. And so states are trying to get ahead of the game, but things like, like California's CCPA rules that they have, Virginia's, CDPA rules that they have, this whole patchwork is making it harder and harder and harder for businesses to keep up with it. So, the easiest thing to do is use AI as a tool, be smart with it. Don't put customer data in it. Don't put anything that's confidential in it. It's just that simple.
All right. So keep the confidential stuff confidential, I would say. I was about to ask, what's a kind of a simple guardrail that you could put in place to kind of mitigate this stuff. But you jumped right ahead and answered that for me. So we appreciate that and appreciate all that good information that you're, bringing to the table for the audience out there. And I'm going to just button it up by saying, that you think you're doing some ordinary use of AI. But the ordinary use, don't get complacent because that can create some extraordinary exposure, right? And none of us want that. So that having been said, let me, wrap up this segment. We're going to go to a real quick break. Everybody out there can grab, the hot or cold beverage of their choice. Take a break, stretch your legs, come right back and sit back down right in front of the TV because we got some more really good stuff coming up on the big show right after this.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Legal Talk. Once again, I am the host of your show, John Mitchell, tax attorney extraordinaire here in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas, H-Town, as we sometimes like to call it. And we are talking today with a veritable superstar, let's be honest, right? Dr. Alan Badeau over in Key West, Florida. He's got his flip-flops and board shorts. And, you know, right after this show, I think he's going to grab that surfboard and, you know, head out and catch some waves or something like that, I think. That, at least that's what I'm imagining, right? That's what Dr. Alan's rest of his day is going to be like. Me, you know, I'm going to go back and, you know, dive into big stacks of tax work. So nobody wants to hear about that. Everybody wants to hear about AI, though. And so that's why we are talking to Dr. Alan today. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome back to the big show. Why don't we go ahead and take a couple of seconds and let people know, let's say people want to get in touch with the doctor and, you know, cure their AI woes. How would people go about doing that?
Well, the easiest way, John, is to get a hold of me on LinkedIn. I active participant there. I also have a show about AI called AI Today with Dr. Alan Badeau, and it's on Now Media, and it's on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Central. And so I talk about a lot of topics. I try to help small businesses really take advantage of AI, and I get a lot of great questions, and I love doing shows about people's questions, because that's really where I can help them. I can give examples. I'll show them how AI can even go wrong when I'm using it, and so for them not to panic. So it's a fun dynamic that I have, and I hope people get to watch it.
Man, oh man. Well, I hope everybody, you know what? I'm going to put that on my calendar. I'm going to tune in myself, man. Take a look at the big show. And, you know, that is God's work right there, man. And I 100% agree with you, man. I you know what? One of the things I like to do, I definitely like to take questions, because, you know, instead of me sitting here trying to imagine what people might, you know, have doubts about, or trying to imagine what people want to know about, well, you know, why not go straight to the source and, you know, let people just ask you the questions, which leads me to my next question, by the way. See how I did that little segue there? So does good AI governance actually look like when you're talking about the realm of the small and medium-sized businesses?
Yeah, I think a lot of times small businesses, medium-sized businesses, they'll get these giant packages and they'll think, oh, I've got to make my governance look like the Fortune 500 company, and, you know, we've got to do all these other things. Honestly, you don't have to do that. It's very complicated. And so for a small business, really a good AI framework for governance is something that is enforceable, and it's very thin. If it's larger than two or three pages, then you've gone overboard, and I would just start over. You really have to have three things, okay? The first one is you've got to tell your employees what your policy is. What tools are they allowed to use? What are approved? What data can and can't go into them? And what kind of review is going to be required based on that output from the AI, whether it goes to a client or into a decision? And if, you know, there's an ownership map and, you know, who clarifies what, just make sure that that's taken into account, because, you know, at the end of the day, somebody has to be held responsible for that decision that is made. And whether that comes from the AI or whether that comes from the human, or if it's an augmented decision that takes place. But because, you know, fundamentally, again, AI, it's not just a tool, right? It's meant to help accelerate things. And so if folks can really just take that, those basic rules, apply it to whatever they're trying to do, then that's a good enough type of governance framework. And actually, it's more effective than most Fortune 500 organizations have right now. I can tell you that from some of the old consultant work I was doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, no, nothing. You know what? There is nothing like the voice of experience. And that's what we got here. So you are doing that consulting work. You are out there, you know, boots on the ground, so to speak, you know, out there just making it happen and seeing these things real time, which, you know, which makes me wonder now. All right. So we all know that it's important to create, you know, a policy, have some rules. Why is it important, though, for people to make these policies and make these rules early on, instead of just, you know, why not just wait for the problems to crop up and, you know, attack them as they come? You know, why do we need to do it early?
Well, I think we've seen with AI that because it's changing so quickly, then things can escalate very quickly. I give a Ron Burgundy example in that when he says, oh, that escalated quickly. Well, this is what happens with AI because it can move so fast. And if you look at what the cost of a retroactive fix is and compare it to actually doing the preventative work and putting those guardrails in place and doing it right from the get-go, whether it's financial, legal, reputation, you know, the cost is always higher when it's a retroactive fix. So when you set rules after the problem surfaces, that means that there's always some sort of damage that can flow from that, and you're in damage control mode. Look at the commercials that we see on TV about medicines, and it's got 5,000 things that are out there, and they're talking about that. Those are probably because in test trials, somebody showed those symptoms, right? And so it'd be nice to put some preventative measures in there. And so from an AI perspective, you've got to prevent customer data getting out there. You've got to prevent certain things that are going to impact your business. I tell people, you know, it takes years and years to develop a relationship and a reputation with your customers that's positive and that's trustworthy. It takes seconds to have AI destroy that. So don't try to retroactively fit things on it. Do the right things right from the start, and then that's how you're going to be successful, and that's how you're not going to run into some of these issues that a lot of other companies are seeing.
Oh, yes, sir. Man, you know, I that takes me back, right? That takes me back to my childhood and my dad, you know, wise old sage that he's always been to me. He had a saying. He would always say, one old crap can wipe out, you know, years of attaboys. And so, you know, I tell people this in the context of my practice all the time, right? It's cheaper, it's easier and therefore cheaper for you to avoid the problem in the first place rather than to try and go back and fix the problem after, you know, after it's already happened, right? So I think we're on the same, you know, exactly the same page with that. But let's talk a little bit. So we talked about having the policies, right? Now, one thing is, like, in my office, I can go back to my office after I'm done with the big show today, and I can, you know, gather everybody around and say, hey, we're changing a policy. We're doing this, right? I can verbally say that, and that'll carry its weight, whatever that may be. Specifically focus in for this next question on documentation, right? So you got an AI policy in your company, and so how can documenting correctly and well and thoroughly documenting that policy, how can that help out if something should go wrong later?
Yeah, so, you know, I, again, it's about governance, right? And it's about getting into the habit and changing behaviors of employees on what gets documented, how it gets documented, who owns the document. And unfortunately for some folks, it's a living document, so it needs to change regularly. And those questions are sometimes just forgotten about. And it's unfortunate because that's some of the largest, you know, or the most important pieces of, you know, the entire governance process, because when something is broken and you want to fix it, you got to usually go to the documentation. And if the documentation is 6, 7, 8 months old, well, that's not going to really help you. And so it's that life cycle support is as you are creating new tools, as you are providing different services, as you are integrating AI into any piece of your organization, then documenting what it's responsible for, how it's allowed to be used, what data is allowed to be used, and who owns the decision that that AI is either allowed to make on its own because we have deemed it allowable to do that, or the information that the AI is providing, that that human makes that decision, but somebody has to own that final decision. And the vetting process, the QA process, how all those flow together have to be documented too, because when something breaks, then you've got to have all these pieces in a really tight, perfectly fitting, matrix that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make sure that these things are done, these people are contacted, and this is what our response is going to look like. Because, this whole AI thing, as it continues to propagate across our entire organization, then the ramifications of these basic documents become significantly more important than they were even 10 years ago.
All right. Well, that's very important. Now, look, we got like about 60 seconds left, I think. So this next question, we're going to have to go through it like that movie, like that Vin Diesel series of movies, actually, I guess, Fast and Furious. But I do want to touch on this before we, cut to the next commercial break. So let's say you're a leader of an organization, right? You got your small business. Businesses need to innovate innovate or die, right? We all know that. So we've talked a lot about rules and regulations and documents and policies and stuff. How do you strike a balance between all of that and still let people have their innovation and still let innovation thrive while still maintaining that accountability? Any words of wisdom for us?
Yeah, I would say that innovation should be changed or documented as part of your strategic plan and how employees are going to use that. You have set bounds to do that. You've set what types of data that they can use. You've set what types of research that they are allowed to conduct. AI is an amplifier of that. Do not create something special for AI when it comes to innovation. Set the bounds from an enterprise perspective on what data, what tools, and what types of research. And if you stick to that, AI is going to just naturally fill that void and really accelerate what people are allowed to do. If you try to do special things with any tool, it's going to cause more problems than it's worth.
Yes, sir. Words of wisdom, man. Thanks very much for that, Doc. And we are going to go ahead and go to the next break and just wrap that up by saying, policies, procedures, all this good stuff, this is for your own good, for your own protection. It's not just red tape. It's a roadmap of how you can be responsible and not fall into any traps with AI. So go into commercial break. Everybody hold on tight because we're going to be back with one last segment here on Legal Talk.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Legal Talk. Oh, my God. You know what they say? Us lawyers, we like to use that fancy Latin. So we say, tempus fugit, time flies when you're having fun. And boy, oh, boy, we've been having fun with Dr. Alan Badeau, who is just an eminence in far as AI and technology right out there on that cutting edge. We really appreciate the doctor being with us on the show today so we can all learn and, not fall into any AI risks, any AI traps, right? So thanks very much for all that good information, Doc. Let me ask you this question as we move forward in this final segment. So small businesses, right? Are small businesses making a mistake, would you say, when they wait for a clearer AI regulation before they take any actions?
Well, so generally, when I'm talking to small businesses, we always try to talk about taking that first step. And that first step is always hard with some folks because it is, AI can be a little bit scary. And, if they listen to the hype and the other things. But if they wait for just the regulation to come, then I would say, yeah, it's a huge mistake, because it's also a compounding mistake. Because, you know, I understand that instinct, you're not sure, you want to wait, you want to be safe. But as you are looking at your customers, as you're looking at, you know, your competitors, even then, as you are getting this information, it's not going to be one giant, bill that's going to regulate everything, right? It's going to be bits and pieces. And so it's not going to be this clean single event that just clears up everything and all questions are gone, right? Because they're answered. It's going to arrive in layers. The state is trying to do things. The sectors, different sectors are trying to do things. Enforcement is being handled in different manner. And even judicial, decisions are happening before legislation is hitting. And so as you are going through that process, you know, make sure that it aligns to what your strategic goals are for your enterprise. If you do that, and you stick to all those ethics, all those principles that you have when you started your business, then AI is going to be a natural fit into that, and it's going to help accelerate some of those things. You know, if you are waiting though until all this regulation comes into play, then that also means you're going to try to accelerate your use of AI in some form or fashion or deployment, and you're going to miss things. It's not going to be aligned to your business. You're just doing it to say they're using AI. And the ramifications of doing that and trying to do all of these things in a, an uncoordinated, unstrategic, fashion, that's where problems start to arise. And that's how things get out of hand. That's how people stop paying attention to what they should be doing. And they drop the ball and they allow AI to do things on its own or get information out there, and it causes issues. So don't wait. Just start when you're ready. Make sure it aligns, and then you'll be successful.
Right. Don't wait. Just, kind of use your best judgment and move forward as best you can. Just kind of be conscientious of all of that. And I think we all understand that, man. We're business owners. We know how to thrive, and we know how to adapt to changing circumstances. And, we've talked about a lot about how, rules and regulations and laws can change. And a lot of times, we're waiting for that to kind of catch up just one sec. Sorry, Abraham, we're going to have to. Couldn't overcome that one. Okay. All right. Okay, so starting back. All right, so we all, we're business owners, and we know how many times rules and laws, rules and regulation laws are kind of trying to catch up with technology, right? So if you could, Doc, try and, see around that next curve for us and kind of see what kind of compliance expectations do you think business owners should be anticipating over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think this is where I wish I had, a magic eight ball that would allow me to really fine tune some of these responses. So I'm going to group them in more of a general category: transparency. So those requirements are starting to come, but they're really broad. But I would tell folks that they need to expect to. To disclose to their customers when AI is used in customer facing type communications, when AI is used in hiring decisions, credit assessments, even content generation, right? We've seen on Instagram and some of those other platforms, social media platforms, where they're saying, oh, generated by AI now. Now, that same trajectory is really going to start to cut across multiple jurisdictions. And, so pretty much anytime a person is interacting with an AI system, they have the right to know that they are doing so. That's going to flow into data handling obligations. That's going to flow into regulated industries. That's going to flow into even accountability around you know, any sort of AI decision that has been made that could increase the risk of something, whether that's an organization, a vendor, a medicine, whatever that is. So that entire transparency thing is really going to be important for folks. Then I think the other thing, and this is where it starts to get a little scary for me even, is that the accountability piece. So if you think about, you go to a medical office and potentially that doctor is using AI to do some augmented assistance for, you know, for, you know, looking at x-rays or looking at PET scans or whatever that is. You know, if the AI is making that decision, who's actually responsible for that? Is that the doctor? Is it the vendor? Is it the provider? Is it the integrator? There's a lot of room for interpretation in there that has not been figured out yet. Now, we saw this in some corporate law a few years ago about being able to sue an entity and those kind of things. It could get to the point where AI by itself could be a new entity that is suable. And I've seen some early cases that folks are trying to develop. They haven't gone anywhere, but it's going to start getting a little bit crazy when people start to try to sue AI. And quite honestly, I don't think that's too far away. So just be prepared for things like that, because this new paradigm shift that we're seeing is that, you know, it's more uncertain. It's creating some confusion even in the legal community. And so, you know, these oversights are coming. It's not going to be optional. It's going to be, people are going to try to make them protective, but it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much. That is a ton of really good and actionable material that you've brought to the table today. We really, really appreciate it. Before we get out of here, we got like 2-3 minutes left. I wanted to ask you one final question, and then we'll repeat all the contact information, all that good stuff. But let me ask you this, as we're going to wrap it up with this one. If you had to leave the small business owners with one action step, like one big thing, big takeaway, big something they could do, what would you tell them to go out and do first?
Well, I think the first piece is to ask your customers or ask your employees how they could use it, how it can make their lives better, and how it's going to, you know, how it would impact their experience with you. AI is a tool. And if you're using the tool the right way, and you are transparent, you are ethical in its use, and you do plan around it, then you're going to make the experience between the customer and yourself that much greater. And that's the important thing. If you don't do some of those basic things and ask the customers or ask your employees if they need it, if they want it, if they'll use it, you're missing the entire point of trying to elevate your employees' capabilities or your customer's experience. And so make sure you understand that first before you do anything, even before you look at the tools that are out on the market, because that's post understanding. Get a fundamental understanding of how it's going to help them, how it's going to assist you, and how it's going to give you a strategic advantage over your competitors. Then that's what you've got to do first. Don't do anything else until you've got that nailed down.
All right. Well, those are, you know, those are words of wisdom, and I could not think of a better way to shut the conversation down than that. So, Doc, thanks very much for being with us. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience again, if people want to get in touch with you, they need some good AI consultant, how should they go about doing that?
Yeah, they should just go to my LinkedIn, send me a note, or they can send me an email at abedeau@digitalnet.ai.
Perfect. Well, you guys heard it here. So thanks everybody for being with us here on Legal Talk. That wraps up the show for today. Thanks very much to the doctor for being with us. And thank you out there for sticking with us to the end. We are now, pulling up to the gate. Enjoy your destination. So have a good day, evening, but morning, evening, whatever it may be, where you're at, when you're watching us. Thanks very much for being here. And we will see you next time on Legal Talk.